Good morning, Discovery.
Good morning.
My name is Justin Kinnishoff. I'm one of the elders here at Discovery. And this morning, I have the opportunity to talk about everyone's favorite topics: giving, serving, and what the heck, I'll throw in some personal finance talk as well, just for good measure. But I really am excited to talk about these things because they've been really important to me in my relationship with God and how I've engaged with His mission through His church. Our passage this morning comes from the book of Acts, near the beginning of the collection of stories about the spread of the early church. Our passage comes immediately after Peter and John have been arrested for testifying about Jesus and appeared before the Jewish council to answer for their crimes, but were released because the Jewish council couldn't figure out how to prosecute them without starting a riot. Then Peter and John go back to their community and pray for boldness to continue to testify about Jesus. And as they're praying, the Holy Spirit shakes, falls upon everyone in the space. Just your average gathering. From there, we move into chapter 4, verse 32, which says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and placed it at the apostles' feet." This morning we're talking about sacrificial generosity, and our passage has it in spades. But first, please allow me to pray for us. God, we thank you for your generosity towards us. Please teach us to be generous toward those around us. Amen. So a couple of definitions for us first. A sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. And our working definition of generosity is a culture of personal sacrifice for others through loving, everyday actions that reflect God's kingdom. Now, from these two definitions, I asked ChatGPT to create one definition for sacrificial generosity, to which it came back with, "Sacrificial generosity is selflessly giving up what we value to serve others, reflecting God's kingdom through loving, everyday actions." Not too bad. All right, so to get started, here are my six hot takes for our passage this morning. Number one, verse 32 starts, "All believers were one in heart and mind." They were united. They didn't choose each other, but all came together as the Holy Spirit moved in their hearts and they responded to the gospel. Two, I love how the Common English Bible translates verse 32. It says, "None of them would say, 'This is mine,' about any of their possessions." This makes me think about that Finding Nemo clip with the seagull saying, "Mine, mine, mine." But I also think it challenges our culture's individual tendency that I feel like our culture holds so strongly as an ideal. I said that perfectly every time when I was practicing. Number three, the end of verse 32 says, "But they shared everything they had." This is it. The statement when I think about sacrificial generosity. They didn't hold anything back, but considered everything they had to be shareable. Verse 33 says, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Now, in Discovery's mission language, they were helping people to discover and rediscover the good news of Jesus together. In the prior passage, the believers prayed for the boldness to be able to testify about Jesus. And this is illustrating that they were doing that. Verse 33 continues, "And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them." Sacrificial generosity is directly linked to God's grace. And number 6, a significant figure in the spread of the early church is first named in this passage. Verse 36 says, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas," which means son of encouragement. I find it interesting that the only person who is named in this passage is Barnabas, whose name literally means son of encouragement. His sacrificial generosity was an encouragement to the apostles and to the community. This is also a big one for me because I feel like giving sacrificially isn't only about us giving us something up for ourselves to help others, but it is also an encouragement to the wider community. So as we consider these forerunners of our faith, we have two questions to consider this morning when it comes to sacrificial generosity. Number 1, what am I willing to sacrifice for? Family, friends, causes. And 2, how can I sacrificially give like the early church did? Now, for the first question, everyone's sacrifice is going to be different. And Jesus gives us a very nuanced model of sacrifice in this parable. Mark 12:41 to 44 says, "Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on.'" So while the rich put in a lot more than a widow, Jesus said that she gave more than anyone else because she sacrificed by putting all she had in the tray. My sacrificial giving would look different than hers, and likely, so would yours. But how do we find out exactly what is a sacrifice for each of us? To answer this, we need to go beneath the surface and get a little bit nerdy. So 2 of my passions, interests, obsessions are budgeting and investing. And both passions apply to sacrificial generosity. And what I appreciate about budgeting and investing for our conversation this morning is that both of them have flexibility in applying to more than just our finances. Now, budgets usually get a pretty bad rap. Most people either have no context for what a budget even is, or have had an experience that's left a bad taste in their mouth. And one of my goals in life is to change the meaning of a budget and release it from being one of the bad B words in a person's vocabulary. A budget is actually a really helpful tool in life. Now, I define a budget as simply a roadmap of our life's priorities. It is a reflection of our core values and gives us clarity when the road becomes covered in fog and distractions. Once in a while, I lead a budgeting workshop here at Discovery. I lead people through the process of creating the foundations of a working budget that they can start using immediately. And before the first session, I ask attendees to come prepared with 2 items. I want them to think through their 3 core values and their current life priorities. A core value is deeply believed, and it motivates every action or inaction that we take in life. For example, a couple of Kayla and my life priorities, or core values, are living a life of generosity and being a welcoming space for hospitality. And a couple of our current life priorities include getting Kayla through seminary and maintaining healthy practices for physical, mental, and spiritual health. And I see each person's core values and current life priorities as integral to the process of creating a budget. Because without knowing your values and your priorities, any budget that you create will not have meaning to your life, and you're much less likely to keep up with it. Now, you might have noticed that I said it's important to think through your current life priorities. That's because it's important to reevaluate your priorities on a regular basis. Because if you don't, your budget's going to be out of sync with your current reality, and you'll be putting energy and money into things that are no longer important to you. After the first budgeting session, I ask participants to print out their bank statements for the prior year and generally categorize every transaction. Now, the main reason I do this is that it brings awareness to their spending patterns and shows exactly where the money is going. Like anything, without awareness, any change will be short-lived and habits will easily be reverted back to what's easiest. But one thing I do tell my participants is that this task will bring up a lot of emotion, more than likely including some shame. And it's important that in addition to the awareness, that we also have compassion with ourselves. The author of a book I'm currently reading called The Hunger Habit puts it this way: for change to happen, kindness is key for awareness to help us learn. One cannot function without the other. So think of awareness and kindness like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. One provides the protein-packed punch, while the other sweetens every bite. We need self-compassion. For us this morning, this process starts with determining what we have of value that could be given up for something of higher value. And it's helpful to start a running list. Things that I have found include money, our house, not only to sell if we ever needed to, but also for a place for hospitality, my woodworking tools to build things that would help other people, to give them joy or to sell if I ever needed to, and possessions to give or to sell. When people think about sacrificial generosity and sacrifice in general, they usually think about money and possessions, like our passage directly mentions. But there's one more thing that needs to be accounted for, and I'd argue that it's as valuable as our money. And yes, I did make this before I knew David was going to be talking about this. And that's time. Time is like a single paycheck, because we have a specific amount and we can't get more. If we waste it, it's gone. And similar to how I ask my participants to print out their bank statements to look at their spending, we can sit down and figure out how much time we are spending and in what areas. And we can ask ourselves, is there time I'm spending that can be better utilized for something more worthy? Investing is a newer interest of mine, and the type of investing that I subscribe to is called value investing. Traditionally, this type of investing is all about finding what are called wonderful companies and buying them on sale. Now, I've added on to this idea for myself because part of the process of finding these wonderful companies is that they need to align with my values. I'm not going to invest in a company that doesn't match my core values. For example, smoking does not align with my core values. So I'm not going to invest in a company like Philip Morris, even if I can make a lot of money doing it. And the work that I did when determining my core values for my budget translates perfectly when I'm looking into a company to invest in. And we can evaluate what we are investing our time and our money into and determine if it aligns with our core value and our current life priorities. And if it doesn't, we need to shift some things around so that it does. So, two guiding questions for us: what are you investing your time and money into? And do your current investments align with your values and life priorities? Now, I believe the most important way that we can invest our time and money is in the mission of the church. Discovery's mission is to discover and rediscover the good news of Jesus together. People need what only Jesus can give. People in my circles have a void that they're trying to fill. Some try to fill it with busyness, activities, more responsibilities at work, more money, and more friendships. And I resonate with each of these because they're all things that I've struggled with in my own life. But all of these come up short and only leave us wanting more. Only Jesus can fill the void in our lives and give us true contentment. Additionally, God is restoring the world around us, which has been broken ever since sin entered the picture. And the church is supposed to partner with God in making that a reality. When you and I sacrificially invest our time and resources into helping people discover and rediscover the good news of Jesus, we are actively participating alongside God as he restores the world. Now, there are a few ways that we can participate in Discovery's mission together. Financially, we can give toward the mission of Discovery. We can give on a monthly basis, a tithe. Now, the word tithe is a loaded word in the church. And if you want to dive a bit deeper into its origins, listen to Steve's teaching from last week. But the easy way for me to explain it is that a tithe is simply giving back a portion of what God has already given us. In the Bible, it's often described as a portion of the first fruits, or the best part of the crop that farmers would harvest would go back to the temple. For us, I set aside our monthly giving first in our budget before I allocate it to anything else. Now, aside from our monthly giving, we can also give financially toward needs in our neighborhood communities, for needs in the neighborhood. And other opportunities that come up throughout the year include the backpack drive that we do in the summer, coats in the winter, or steak in November and December. For Kayla and I, sometimes we have the money in the budget for these extra opportunities, and sometimes we have to talk about if there's something else that we want to give up that month in order to fund one of these missional opportunities. Time-wise, there are many ways that we can invest in the mission of Discovery. We can serve on a team. There are many teams to serve on. If you try one out and it doesn't seem like a good fit, try another one. Over the years, I've been a part of many teams here, and some have been a much better fit than others. Experiment. Take a risk. In addition to serving, you can commit to coming to the gathering on a weekly basis and commit to attending to your neighborhood community. Now, I do have an ask for each of you this morning. And the passage says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. And my ask is, if you are here and you have a need, let us know. Talk to Steve, talk to Marla, talk to one of the deacons, talk to the elders, talk to your neighborhood community leader. We want to be able to care for everyone who is a part of this community. But if you don't let us know that you have a need, we can't help you. And if you are a part of a neighborhood community and you know of a need in your neighborhood, talk about it with your NC. One of my dreams for Discovery is for each neighborhood community to be deeply invested in the neighborhood it's anchored in. Each NC would have its own allocation of funds to be able to serve the needs of that particular neighborhood. The NC would do service projects in that neighborhood to be acquainted with the people who live in that space, to know their names and their stories. And through the modeling of the NC, each member would also have a desire to know their own neighbors and how they can serve them. But accomplishing this dream will require us to be sacrificial with our time, investing in the neighborhood that God's placed us in, and to genuinely seek relationships with our neighbors. And when needs come up, we want to be willing to let go of our resources to give to the needs of those around us. I feel like this would be a vivid reflection of our mission here at Discovery. As we come in for a landing, I would invite the worship team to come back. And I have a couple of questions for us to think through. One, what are your core values and your current life priorities? 2, what or who are you investing your resources into? And 3, are there shifts that need to occur with your time and money in order to better align with your core values and your current life priorities? As we move toward the communion table this morning, I think of 3 things: unity, generosity, and the gospel. And our passage this morning connects all 3. The believers were of one heart and mind, were generous with their possessions, and powerfully testified to the resurrection of Jesus, who gave himself for us. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We have tables about the room. When you're ready, come grab the elements and eat. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for modeling sacrificial generosity so purposefully for us. God, help us to not be closed-fisted with the resources that you have so generously given us. Open our hearts to joyfully serve and care for those you've placed near us. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.